How you doing?
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I brought Vince from MSI on with us. I still have Vinny Eastwood and Todd. So, hi, Vince.
How you doing, Stephen? Good to be on with you tonight. Just to let you know, Vince is apparently arrested.
Can you get right up to your microphone there, Vince?
Oh, sorry, is that any better now?
It sounds like somebody's frying up some chips behind your bar.
Could be. Hold on.
Somebody definitely having a feed of some kind. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, I was about to say, who's cooking? I'm hungry.
Yeah. I got a banana.
Am I okay now? Now can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's much better.
Now that the radio show host is the host of this program has muted his own mic, now we can hear you. I love the irony.
Well, look, just to let everyone know who's listening at the moment, just in relation to Ben Gilroy, we just heard not too long ago that Ben Gilroy was arrested. I don't know whether he was arrested at his home or not, but I was talking to him on Skype. The last communication was 22:36 p.m. tonight, and in particular, we were talking about Articles 40.5 of the Irish Constitution, and he agreed with me that opening the door would be a very bad idea if men came knocking that he did not recognize, whether they were wearing uniforms, costumes, or whatever. So how he ended up being arrested tonight, I don't know. I would be very surprised if he did open up, and if he didn't, the only way they could possibly have arrested him would have been to breach that particular article of the Constitution, 1937 edition, that is. So I've sent messages to his family and his friends and his wife, etc., saying if there's anything they need to let us know. Also, we were also talking earlier on very particular linguistic details about how to actually not only address anyone talking to you, regardless as I said, whether they're wearing a costume or not, how to respond rather than answer. So my feeling is he'll be fine. They're trying to, they picked him. He was one of 250 or 300 people, apparently, on the farmlands in Kildare that the Irish people apparently had decided they were not allowing an eviction to happen upon. Because I suppose his face is recognizable, they decided to make an attachment order for contempt of court against him, and I believe that's why they have arrested him. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm almost positive that's the reason. Now, the interesting thing about this, of course, is it can only be a civil matter. And I think everybody should really, you know, keep that clear in your mind. A civil matter. Now, maybe you might think that's a small point, but if you think it is, tomorrow try going into a police station anywhere in the world and asking for the assistance of the police officers or the constables because somebody owes you money and you want to go to collect it. They will immediately inform you that is a civil matter and they will not have anything to do with it.
That's
so
right.
Question, what's happening in this regard right now? So sorry for that. I had to just get all that information out, guys.
That's okay. That's a very some very pertinent points you made there.
Well, I always like to, what's the expression? Where the rubber meets the road is the point I pay most attention to.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Well, it's good to get that information out there because as the system or the powers that be continue to attempt to fabricate evidence against people because of, you know, what they're involved in or what they're doing, we're all going to need to stick together because as the old saying goes, and we've said this many times, if we do not hang together, we all will hang separately.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but the irony is either way you get hung.
Yeah. But the important thing here tonight was that myself and Ben were very, very particular about A, use of language and in the passive sense, and B, those particular articles of the Constitution, Article 40.5 41.11. Now, I understand in many other jurisdictions, you may not realize that, for example, in England and America and in New Zealand and Australia, Bunraich na hÉireann, the Irish Constitution, is actually a valid document in the legal courts. It's as valid as your constitution is here, believe it or not, because we are all under a government, mostly provisional governments. In fact, I think they're all provisional governments operating under the crown.
That's right.
They're operating under the there's a company registered in the United States called the Queen in Right of New Zealand, and whenever you're and that company owns this country. And I presume it's similar for everybody else. You know, these aren't states or countries or nations anymore. These are just companies.
And people need to realize that that is what is happening. I mean, I hear of all these different patriot groups and groups who are, they say, struggling for freedom and protesting and all this stuff. And what I would like to say to all those groups, be mindful. The crown-controlled British Empire has not been dissolved. It's simply renamed, rebranded, and shifted the attention away from itself as a singular entity. And it gave the appearance of multiple entities, and it told every one of you, you are independent. But they, when they say independent, they're saying two words, independence, not independence.
Right, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we have, like. That's why I was saying we have to stick together, because if we don't, it's going to get really bad.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think it's time. I mean, what we have three separate continents right now in this conversation. In this conversation, and we are people who care. We actually care. I mean, I know Vinny Shaw. I love Vinny. How you doing, Vinny? By the way, sorry, I should have said hello to you earlier. How you doing? I mean, I've had Vinny on TNS in the past, and I've been on his broadcast. I know what he does. I know what you guys do. You know what I do. But we all agree that our intent, I mean, I know we all have different styles, but our intent is clear and true. We only want what's best for people, for everyone. And these lion sacks of SH1T in the suits in these corporate provisional governments operating under the crown globally, they want their nest feather. They care nothing for you, nothing. And if the people of planet Earth don't realize this and begin to wake up to that fact alone, pretty soon, don't be getting bent out of shape over who's fighting against who and what religion has been pitched against what religion and what race has been pitched against what race. Don't ever forget for a second somebody is deciding which religion gets pitched against which religion and which race gets pitched against which race. And
or sex.
To destroy both races, both religions, in all cases.
That's right. Yeah, what you just talked about there, those are all systems of divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing strikes me is feminism there strikes that, you know, women versus men. And it's like, well, hold on a second. Aren't they, don't they kind of work best as partners? Aren't they physically capable of fitting together somehow, you know?
Right.
You're not Vinny. I'm joking. Sorry.
Well, we read out an article on the on my show today that apparently if you eat chicken wings while pregnant and you have a male child, the male child will be born with an extra small penis. Oh, I was just thinking, whoa, that's kind of off topic. Sorry about that.
I'm not sure I wanted to know that, but thank you.
Yeah, just make sure, you know, if your missus is pregnant, bro, just don't go anywhere near them chicken wings. Otherwise, his girlfriends and previous thing will be able to be like making love to a cocktail weenie.
I have four, and four will do. Thank you very much.
Yeah. No one wants to be hung like a hamster.
Yeah. Let's hope they don't get sold to Dyncorp.
Look, guys, I mean, I think I'd just like to bring this back to Ben Gilroy for a second, if I can, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Shoot.
Ben is the type of guy who's he's a frontline type of guy. He's an in-your-face, he's the big, gentle giant type. He's in your face, but he'll be smiling in your face. He's a friendly man. He's a big teddy bear. He wouldn't harm a fly. And I'm disgusted they've arrested him for this reason. I find it repugnant. And
it sounds like standard operating procedure to me, though, Vince, don't you think? That they would obviously go after somebody who wouldn't defend themselves.
Well, look, they tried the same with me, Vinny. I mean, there's a video online there when they were banging on the door here. They came armed. And what I did was I turned my back to them. And I made sure the door was latched. It wasn't latched at the beginning. I made sure it was latched. And I made a cup of sovereign tea. And I spoke to the camera. And I put up the video. And when I was searching for a title in my mind, I said, the only thing I can call this is Garda Síochána. Uphold the Constitution. You see, I do not have to demand they uphold the Constitution. It's silent. I just expect them to. But if I had if I were to engage with them and to, you know, start bumping my gums, as they say, well, I might cause a problem. So I decided the Constitution, when you read it, it doesn't say anything. It's silent. You can read it. You can choose to read it. You know, people pick up a piece of paper and they say, oh, it says right here. And I have often said to people, as Harry would say on We the People, I didn't hear anything. God bless your hearing. I didn't hear a thing. That paper doesn't say anything to me, but apparently to them it does. And when they read it and they make oath, they uphold it. It's not for We the People to uphold the Constitution. It's for the servants. And many people don't realize this. They are not the servants of the people. They serve the crown. It is the queen and the king's peace they are keeping, not your peace. So please stop saying to them, oh, you're here to keep my peace. They are not. Do not talk to them. They're here to keep the queen's peace, the king's peace, not yours.
Right.
Well, this means taking everything from you.
Yeah, if you open your door, you are abandoning your right to privacy right there.
Yep.
If it's criminal, they don't ask any questions. They'll just kick your door in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I put up a post on Facebook the other day, how to not be evicted. Number one, don't open the door. Number two, don't open the door. All the way to number five. And it just said the same thing each time. Do not open the door. If it's criminal, they won't ask. They'll just kick the door in. And you'll know exactly where you stand. And the outcome will be no different.
Right. Exactly.
Have you heard of Bill? I'm not sure if it's Bill Barry Cooper. Never get busted again. He was the
Cooper.
top drug cop in Texas. You know, he'd arrested more drug users than anybody else. They have this procedure called the tap and rap, where they knock on your door, and if you open it, boom, they got you. And even if you've done nothing wrong. And then they just go, oh, you don't have anything to hide, do you? And then they walk right into your house and they got you.
You did do something wrong. You opened the door. That's it. And then they engage
exactly.
You. We don't understand in general. We do not understand the language we are using. I mean, I think people need to realize it's the Queen's English we are all using. That is the language of law. I know people talk about Black's Law Dictionary, Bouvier's, Murdoch's, and all of this, but it's the Queen's English. It's hers. She is the only recognized sovereign to them, to her servants. We are considered less than human, subjects, slaves, chattel.
Well, talked about how our nations have now become corporations. And that would make us stock, livestock.
Well, that's why your passport. Let me get. What color is your passport, Vinny, if you were to describe it?
It's blue with gold kind of trim with a shield on it that has the queen and a Māori. In fact, I've got it right here, I think.
Would you be surprised if I told you in Europe our passport suddenly changed and they have now all become oxblood? Oxblood red.
It's because they're all chattel.
Exactly. I mean, the Irish people used to have a green passport. And it became oxblood red, and nobody apparently raised an objection.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, each country, you know, what I have said, Vince, many times is that each country is a tax farm, and we are the tax cattle, and the governments are the farmers.
Mm. Do you know why the government had to close all of its public schools? Because they didn't have any principals.
That's a good one. I think a lot of people, when they hear that, they'll have to sit and think about that one for a second.
I don't think so. I think the answer is pretty obvious, you know. Everybody's started to click onto the fact that the government doesn't have any principles. Cops aren't there to protect you. They're there to harm you. Courts aren't there to give you justice. They're there to take it from you.
That's right. I mean, that's right.
And you see, so this is what happens. I mean, sheep, after a time, I think, well, the shepherd there he is, he's defending us from wolves. He must be doing good, right? He's on our side. But the shepherd, that very same shepherd, will lead the lambs to the slaughter when it's time.
That's right. I mean, exactly.
Still become chicken nuggets.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Yep. We're all cattle within the farm, and the countries are just farms with invisible borders. And the reason for passports, I mean, you touched on something very pertinent there, Vince, is that the passports are so that each group of farmers or governments can keep track of where their cattle are going when they roam off the farm. Absolutely. If we were truly free and we had true freedom and liberty, you wouldn't need papers to leave your farm and then be, you know, remanded to your farm.
Awesome. And I think what a lot of people also don't realize about the passport, it's to pass the port. It's a port pass.
Now, when maritime. People,
yeah, but well, it's actually even more so because the actual port, P-O-R-T, that's a shortened version of the word portcullis. Now, the portcullis was the big gate that used to drop down in the castle at the beginning of the castle, not quite where the keep was. Did you ever hear the expression, the castle and the keep?
Yeah.
And the keep would be where the king would be, or the queen, and whatever. And to pass that portcullis, you had to be passive. You know, anybody with a big brash ego wasn't allowed near the king or queen because, well, things would go bad. And that's why they call it the ID entity, the id. The id is the polar opposite of the ego. Ego and the id is a very interesting read. And it's your id entity. So when you show that to them, you're telling them, I can come in here and I will be passive. And then, of course, we aren't, and we get bopped on the head and, you know, all that other sort of jazz happens. But the importance of knowing and understanding this is that every time there's a police checkpoint, that is a pop-up port. You're at passport control, and you just don't know it. So the worst document you can show them is a driving license. I know many guys over here, we've explained it many, many times. If they stop you at a port, regardless as to where that port may be, whether it's 1,000 miles from the border or otherwise, show them your passport. Not a driving license. That's less than. That's a lower. That's a subdivision. That's a much lower status, if you will, document. And you don't actually hand them the passport. Just put it flat on your hand. Open your palm flat. Place it on your palm, and put it within their reach and allow them to take it. Because if you read inside, it says in your passport, "Do not surrender this to somebody unauthorized." And if you haven't checked if he's authorized, you're getting yourself into deep doo-doo again. So if you're going to do it, put it flat in the palm of your hand and ask the guy, are you authorized to receive this? If he says yes, now you will be afforded the protection from what it has inside that passport as he reads it. And I would always say, look, if you have any problems or difficulties, well, just call your boss, which is passive.
Right, right. Yeah, you could say it's fair to say that a driver's license is a form of branding.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's a company name. I mean, if I were to take my driver's license out of my wallet right now and show it to you, you'd notice that, of course, just like a company registered with the company's office in New Zealand, my name, Vincent Christopher John Eastwood, is written in all capital letters, isn't it? So that's Capitis Diminutio Maxima. That means it's a company. Right, so who is this person on this piece of plastic here? Is that me? I'm not a company, am I? Was I registered? Was I incorporated or anything like that? Well, looks like I was. I've got this other birth certificate thing that has the exact same capital letters deriving my name. So when I'm born, I get a shipping receipt. You know, that's why they call it being birthed.
That's right.
Because you're a ship coming in support, baby. And now all of the stock and everything of that nature which I am worth, all of my future taxation and everything of that nature can now be borrowed against my company.
And you get delivered at the dock or by the dock.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There's another layer to this I don't think people realize, and that is that within the passport, you see, within the movement of chattel or cattle,
the movement.
Border, yeah, movement. I mean, look at driving, for example. I mean, you drive cattle, and what's the thing you're holding when you're in the car? What are we told it's called? The
steering wheel. Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, you know, you got to steer by the horns. That's what you're doing. That's how come you're driving. But just to go back to the passport for a second, recently, within, say, 8-9 months, I think, there was an execution of an English man in China. And the reason he was executed was because the Crown and the Chinese did not have an insurance policy in place through the passport agreement. They had an agreement that, you know, people could pass from port to port, but there was no insurance in place. And that is why that man was executed. In your passport, if you read it, you will see very clearly it's an insurance policy. So it covers the country you go to, the tax firm you go to, against any damages you may cause when you're there. And your government will pick up the bill to their government, their tax farmers. Essentially, that's how it operates. Now, there are other layers of complexity. But if you actually take the time to read in your passport, no matter where you are on the planet, you will see, if you present it correctly and you operate it the way it's supposed to be operated, with full knowledge of what it's all about, they will actually afford you any assistance and protection you require if you do it correctly. Now, we've had guys over here who've done this. They've been stopped, asked for driving licenses, and they say, hey, well, you know, is this sufficient for you? You know, we are careful with our use of language. Is this what you were looking for? You know, and it's not a case of does this work or does this not work. What it's a case of is, are you correct or are you incorrect? Do you believe that you are correct when you are operating with another, or don't you? It's all about our intent. So one guy could try to do something like this, and if he's trying to be a smart arse, he is going to get dragged out of the car. He is going to get his egg cracked. And he's going to proclaim, oh, none of that works. That's all nonsense. So we have to be mindful of that too. Fortunately, some of us are idiots.
Yeah. It's a minefield out there.
Yeah. Now, quite literally.
Before I go, just one last thing, if you don't mind, guys. Again, I just want to reiterate, Ben Gilroy is definitely a peaceful man. He would harm no one. I'm sure his wife is beside herself worrying. They have a young child and other children, but they have a young child at home as well, babe in arms. And, you know, I would appreciate everybody being calm. Don't go sending, don't go ringing 500 times to the Garda stations demanding this, that, and the other. Be calm. Everything will be fine. Ben does know how to handle himself when it comes to language. He'll be fine. He will more than likely go in there and let that man in the high chair know that he was unaware of particular details, or in fact any details regarding a court order because it was a private matter between another party. They're trying to attach him to this. He had no actual first-hand knowledge, so he is more than likely going to let them know that if it was in breach of a court order, contempt, that more than likely the only thing it could possibly be was an honest mistake on his part. And even they cannot criminalize an honest mistake. They can't make honesty illegal, at least not just yet.
Right. Not.
They can punish it, though.
An Irish minister, Willie O'Dea, used this methodology in court. Willie O'Dea, folks, you can look it up. He's a minister for something or other. He's down in Limerick in Ireland. He went in, told him he made an honest mistake, and they accepted gracefully and gleefully. And they said, that's absolutely no problem, Mr. O'Dea. Thank you very much. So there should be no problem for Ben in this regard. So I'd say to people, sit tight. Don't be worried. He'll be fine. You know, the guards and the prison officers and all those guys, all that he's talked to over the last year or two, they do respect and admire him, and they like him. They actually like him. He gets on with them. So he's not their enemy. We're not their enemy. He knows it, and they know it, and they know he knows it, and vice versa. So look, I'm going to tune out now, guys, and let's just get back to it. I think it's fantastic what you're doing, Vinny, over there in New Zealand. Todd and Stephen, I think it's fantastic what you're doing. I think it's fantastic what the guys are doing here in Ireland and England and France and Germany, and we're making these connections all around the whole world. I big up all of us. Thank you very much, and I really appreciate it. Good night, and God bless all of you.
No worries, absolutely. Vince.
Thank you, Vince.
Have a good night.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go. Well, you know, I wondered at this. If the laws were made for honest people, then they'd get honest people to enforce them, wouldn't they? Yes, but it's unfortunate. Have you guys ever been, I don't know, accosted or had any experience with a police officer where the police officer lied to you or deceived you in some way? And just think about this. My God, it's almost every single time that I've had an interaction with a police officer, they've been dishonest. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Well, they're actually allowed. Do you know, Vinny, they're actually trained to do that, and they do that when they're interrogating somebody. They call it a discovery, and they're actually allowed to lie to you in order to, quote-unquote, discover the truth, but yet, if you lie to them, then you're in big trouble because the slaves are not allowed to lie to their masters.
You're only allowed to say two words to the police. No comment.
That's right. That's right. I think, and as some people call them here in the United States, the police.
The po-pole.
The police. That's what they say that a lot in the ghetto areas. The police. Yeah. Police is coming.
Yeah, well,
no, ain't no police. You don't need police.
Yeah. Ain't no police. Get out here.
Yeah. Vinny, Todd, I've seen quite a few videos of Ben and what he does, his work. One of the most, I mean, actually the first one I seen, it was called Ben Gilroy Stops Sheriff from Evicting Family. And systematically, within I think about a 25-minute video, he just uses the Constitution and his knowledge of the wordings and the laws, and he just stymies a locksmith. I think it was probably the sheriff's deputies and the Gardaí over there in Ireland, and systematically sent them on their way. And then other videos I've seen, he's taken back a pub or a restaurant type of establishment from being taken away from the banks or the servicers, whatever you want to call them over there. He's done a lot of very, very good work, and if I had to speculate, and I really don't want to, but like Vince said, I can't imagine him opening that door they must have broke it down and took him forcefully.
Yeah, and what's interesting to note to that, Steve, is that like Vince was saying, it's a civil matter, you know. So they broke into a man's castle to take him away for a civil matter.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. It's almost like physics, you know. It's a dark matter now. Because if they break the law, they won't have the law equally applied to them for those who broke it. This is something I wanted to say first hour was in New Zealand. We've got this new law coming, and it's a New Zealand equivalent of the Patriot Act called the GCSB Bill. GCSB is the Government Surveillance and Security Bureau, or whatever it is. And there were 88 activists in this nation, probably some of which are friends of mine. We will never be confirmed or denied who they were. But 88 of them, prior to this bill being passed, were unlawfully surveilled. Then they passed the law, and after they passed the law, they said all of the employees and the directors who unlawfully spied on the citizens of New Zealand are immune from prosecution.
Of course they are.
Sure.
You know that you're living in a top-down dictatorship when the law is not applied equally. When was the last time you saw a cop go to jail, or a judge get arrested, or a politician have to answer into a court for a jury of his peers or something of that nature? It very rarely happens. And ironically enough, those people who are the ones who make the laws, enforce the laws, and judge the laws are the ones to whom the laws do not fracking apply.
Yeah, Vinny.
Well, that's right. That's what I was saying earlier. They just orbit outside of the system that they create for us. I mean, if you look at our president, Obama, and the Attorney General Holder, you know, they've got caught with Fast and Furious red-handed shipping weapons to drug cartels in Mexico, and nothing happened. They're above prosecution.
Yeah, I was going to say, at a local gym that I go to, I know of a judge. He's just a county judge. I posed a question to him one time, and he said he doesn't really think he knows. He would have to research it, but I asked him if just the average Joe citizen could bring charges up on a politician, and he said he didn't really think so, but he would have to look into it. And I thought to myself, how ironic, the criminals keep themselves from being prosecuted or gone after.
Well, yeah, another way to say that too, Steve, is that, you know, the public, here's a very revealing way to put it. The public servants cannot be charged by the public or those that they serve.
Sure, absolutely.
It's kind of like a parent can't be punished by their own children. But in some cases, having children is its own punishment. But
yeah,
there's some justice there. You see, this is payback for all the grief you caused your parents.
That's right, exactly.
You know, especially there is justice in the universe. There is justice in the universe, but not in the justice system. You know, that's the reason why they call it the justice system, is because it's just for us, not for them.
Just us.
Just us.
And that's why they also call it the criminal justice system, because it's just criminal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I the only one who's like kind of, I don't know, teetering the tightrope walk of sanity whenever you look at things, okay? And see, if you were crazy, and I mean real bat-shiite Muslim crazy, you'd look at the world and you'd go, yep, makes total sense. There ain't nothing to miss.
Sure.
If you're a sane person, on the other hand, and you're looking objectively at reality, you go, man, this is driving me nuts.
That's right.
I can't even handle it. And you know, this is how you know that you're being governed by the insane. You know, you have a look at Obama and John Kerry, and they, you know, this is one of my guests today on the show, he said that John Kerry looks very similar to Lurch from the Addams Family.
Sure,
you know,
Lurch.
They've got weapons of mass destruction. He got everything but the bolts in his neck. And I go, how are you? How can we deal with this? You know, and when you try to explain to people how the world really works, they look at you as if you're the crazy one, saying, "Oh my god, oh my god!" And I'm gonna, the sanity spectrum—it's pretty fluid at this point, isn't it? I mean, how can we deal with this? And I was just like wondering, how do you know whether or not you're the crazy one? And the answer is, I question my sanity. A crazy person doesn't question their sanity.
That's right.
That's right. That's
Obama right. doesn't question his scumbaggery. Neither does John Kerry. These people never, ever, ever put a foot forward without willing to keep another foot coming. You know, that's the problem with these people. They've got such a lack of self-analysis that the entire world is like in a sinkhole of insanity.
But do you think? Do you think it's insanity, or do you think maybe it's inbreeding?
I think it's psychopathy, actually.
Okay,
that's what, yep.
And psychopathy is actually a parasite, and we've got now pictures of these parasites.
A syphilitic parasite, or?
I'm not 100% sure, but we had a number of interviews on my show a couple of weeks ago where we had people who were talking about the spiritual aspects of it, like the archons and the jinn and so on and so forth back throughout history through ancient times. And then we had people who were talking about actual real psychology and that kind of thing, the mentality behind them. And every single one of these people all agreed that this is a parasite. It actually attaches to you, destroys your ability of empathy, creativity, and then you are left with simple human drives. Sex, violence, drugs, power, and control. They're the only things that matter to these people. Yeah. Really.
Yeah,
that's
power
right.
and control, chief of all. And you think about this. Can you name a single U.S. president who gave themselves less power and control?
No. There probably isn't. There probably hasn't been one.
Certainly doesn't come to mind, does it?
No. Well, no, the very nature of the system is designed to allow the sociopaths and the psychopaths to float to the top. I mean, that's the very nature of the corporate world. Is the corporate world innately allows the sociopaths and the psychopaths to float to the top because of the way everything works. That's just the nature of it.
Well, yeah, let's say you got three honest people in a room and one psychopath, and they're all vying for the same job.
None of them work for Congress, though, right?
Yeah, and so let's say you got these three innocent, decent people who are really working hard, and they've paid their dues, and they want the job of CEO. And then you got one psychopath in the room who goes, I can dig up dirt on these other three guys, sabotage them in front of the current CEO,
that's right.
And then he'll be left with no choice but to put me in
Make
there.
Make that brownie point. That's right.
All right. Brown nosing, manipulation, deception, things of these natures which have become quintessential political tools in Congress, in the Senate, in the presidency, in the cabinet, in the beehive, in New Zealand. Every single thing ties into the psychopathic mentality. Police, judges, doctors, lawyers, religious gurus, priests, etc. If you are in a position of authority, if you're in a position of power, you will attract these psychopathic entities. They love that Shiite Muslim.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the same type of way in Hollywood over here in America. Unless you're part of a group or you spread it on the casting couch, you're not going to get anywhere. If you're not part of the family or part of a certain group or you spread them like a streetwalker, you're not going to get anywhere.
Mm. And I think that what's happening now is that all things good within society, you know, honor, common decency,
That's
morality,
right.
respect, ethics are being eroded.
Well, I think in these groups of politician types, I think that all empathy and all of these other attributes that you're describing, I think they've been deleted from these people. They've been, well, look at Barack Obama. In his first book, he said he didn't go to college to learn anything. He went to college to be trained. He went to college to be trained to be more presentable to the white people here in America. And I think I'm kind of paraphrasing, but his words were he was trained not to be a angry black man, but a more presentable black youth.
Now, this actually exposes a very important truth between our education systems, is they're not that, like, who was it that told me this? I forget it was. In fact, I might have made it up myself. Universities are supposed to teach critical thinking, right?
Sure.
Right? They don't.
Mine did.
They teach people to be critical of those who can still think, despite being university educated.
That's right. If people were able to critically think and knew their logical fallacies and could pick them out when they are seen, they would never turn another TV on again. There would be no advertising. There would be no movies. There would be no nightly MSNBC, CBS, ABC, BBC. Pick one of the ignorant alphabetical news agencies, and they would go out of existence if people could learn their logical fallacies.
Yeah.
That's right.
And which is why, logically, whenever you see a politician speak across a TV screen or something, all I see is a fallacy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Little play on words there, but you're correct.
Well, you know, this is unfortunately the case, is that all those we've been taught to respect, to listen to honor, and to serve have actually been those who are there to destroy us and everything we hold dear. And that's the real tragedy, is it not?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Gee, I just actually thought of something. I maybe should have been one of the first questions there, Vinny, but what actually woke you up? What awakened Vinny Eastwood?
There's a combination of factors. I started listening to Bill Hicks. A friend of mine showed me From the Wilderness. You know From the Wilderness, Mike Rupert?
I've heard former of that, sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He did a presentation called The Truth and Lies of 9/11, still on the internet, and we watched that. And after a while, about halfway through, we just started laughing at virtually everything he said, because it was so funny to see how obvious all the connections and everything were between all these scumbaggery agents. My flatmate also introduced me to Bill Hicks, and I started listening to that. I actually basically memorized a number of different gigs by Bill Hicks, and I can recite them at will at the time.
He was 30 years ahead of his time, wasn't he?
I have, here, hold on a second, I'll actually see if I can grab it off the wall for you.
Yeah, but he was actually probably about 30 years ahead of his time.
Yeah, yeah, Bill Hicks. Was. Yep. Yeah, he was. He had a lot of revealing, insightful stuff to say.
Yeah, and here we have, I had it painted for me by a work colleague of mine, Rip Bill Hicks, 1961 to 1994. You know, so he's a young man. And he was like basically one of the greatest sources of inspiration for me. And at the time I was selling weed, you know, as everybody does in university, and I got busted. And naturally, being a really naive young man at the same time, I told the cops everything. I said, yes, I'm a drug dealer. Yes, I've been selling about an ounce a week for about 8 months. And so they took me to jail. I had the worst freaking experience of my entire freaking life. And then when they came to court, they made up evidence, even though they had a full confession, even though the evidence was damning already. Yeah. And it was like the first guy in front of me, he was up for stealing a jar of Craig's jam from a local BP service station, and he was ordered to pay reparations of $4.33 or something like that to replace the jar of Craig's jam. and the guy behind him, who was just in front of me, was up for sexual assault, resisting arrest, and growing 5 cannabis plants. He gets 150 hours community service. And because the cops never advised me of my right to remain silent or any of my rights before they interrogated me, all of the confession and everything that I gave them had to be thrown out. And so all they had on me was 13 grams of cannabis, not even half an ounce. And I got 300 hours of community service.
Hmm. Wow.
So, whoa. Whoa. And so I dropped out of university, had to work for a year on the vineyards and things like that while I was also doing my community service down at a regional park. And I went back to university the very next year. I had a mescaline trip, and it told me, go to Auckland, go to university, get a job as a telesalesman. So I did that, you know. I went back to university, got a job as a telesalesman. I became really, really skilled at talking, as you can tell. And I was number one, top of the boards, you know. And then at university, I wrote an essay this one time, you know. And I'd never really worked really hard at university. I always, you know, cruised by on C's and C pluses and so on and so forth, you know. Didn't really pay a whole lot of attention or do a hell of a lot of work, frankly. And you don't need to in university because for morons. What I also found out is that when I wrote this essay, one of the topics was anti-television discourse, which means talking smack about TV, basically. And I was like, whoa, yeah, that's something that I want to do. I read all this source material, all these books, made all these references, and did a hell of a lot of work on it, and even showed it to a friend of mine's father, who was a English professor who I was friends with as well. And he said, man, that's a brilliant essay, brilliant essay. We're talking about how TV mind controls people, how it gives them a short attention span, how it distracts them from real personal issues and destroys their lives, essentially, by putting things in front of them that they'll never achieve and never actually hope to achieve in their entire frickin' lifetime. And I handed it in to be marked, and they gave me a D-, and I failed. And I was like, whoa, this place is full of crap. I'm getting the frack out of here. And so I started working full-time. And then I started making a lot of money, And then I've got promoted, and I didn't want to do sales anymore, didn't want to do telesales or anything like that. I wanted to hang up my guns, as it were. So naturally, they promoted me to do another sales job. And I got bored with that, and I started writing up, and I wrote up this essay, the 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company, their training protocols, their provisioning systems, everything, because I'd spent a lot of my time at that company going around and talking to all these different people from all these different divisions and making sure I understood the entire apparatus of the corporate structure that, as it was working in there, how it was affecting all my fellow employees. And after about 2 minutes or whatever of reading through this thing, the CEO who was second in charge CEO just says, gets a text message, and he says, I've got to go. 3 days pass, nothing happens. Send him an email. What's going on with these complaints, with these concerns? He says, as far as I'm concerned, the matter is closed. Then a couple of days later, my boss comes to me and says, Vinny, come and have a coffee with me next door. I go, all right. Slaps a piece of paper down in front of me, says, sign it. And I go, what am I signing? He says, we're going to pay you 6 weeks wages to leave.
Severance.
And I go, what do you mean, like right now? And he's like, yep, 5 minutes. And I was like, okay. Well, I hadn't had a summer holiday in quite a few years. So I took that money. It was like $3,000. It's like, sweet, live off that for a while. Then I had to get another job after all that money ran out. And these people fracked me big time. I actually had to pay like $60 a week to work. I had to pay for my own cell phone. I had to pay for my own gas and everything like that, driving around for these people. And they were paying me about 5% of what those contracts and everything that I was selling for them were worth. And so we quit that job, and a whole bunch of us started this new company. And turns out that the guy who was running that was a psychopath. He'd give me a call at 10 o'clock at night on a Friday while I'm at my friend's place having a beer on the couch, telling me to get up, get off the couch, find a pen and paper, and get the number down of a client to call on Monday. Not an isolated incident.
Wow.
All the time. I was getting so stressed out. I had to get high every single freaking day before work because I was so stressed out. I just couldn't handle life. And I was watching like 2 documentaries a day at that point. My knowledge base of the world around me was starting to geometrically kind of spiral out of control, and it was destroying me because I knew that I was a slave and I was a corporate stooge and that I was doing it for the money and that I didn't have any frickin' choice in the matter. And I saw all this crap around me, and I saw that there was no alternative media in New Zealand. I mean, apart from my friend Jonathan Eisen, who does this magazine here, Uncensored Magazine, best frickin' magazine in the country, bar none. And one day, I felt like quitting. And I call up my friend John Eisen, and I said to him, you know, I feel like quitting. And he goes, well, does it feel right? And I go, yeah. Yes, it does. It does feel right. So I quit. And I had $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers that had been given to me as a bonus for 45 days' work and $5,000 cash. I was capable of living off that for a while. So I bought a camera, bought a Mac computer, I got the frack out there and started interviewing the activists at the protests, started filming the public meetings and uploading them. After a while, a guy comes along named Mitch Santel, greatest producer money can buy. Incidentally, he volunteered because I couldn't pay him anything. And he offered me a slot as co-host on American Freedom Radio with a guy named Brent Johnson. American Freedom Radio and a lot of other people didn't like Brent Johnson, so they cancelled our show and just gave it to me. 3 years later, here I am. I have the country's number one ranked YouTube channel. I have more subscribers than the New Zealand Herald, which is the equivalent of the New York Times of New Zealand. I have a radio show that is 5 days a week. I've put more New Zealand activists on live radio than any other media entity in the country's history. In fact, all of them combined.
Wow, that's awesome.
I put out more hours of YouTube videos per day than about 90% of people in the truth movement worldwide. And that's talking about people who are actually putting up videos every single day from their shows and so on and so forth. Not many people do that.
Sure,
I do.
Sure.
Right.
Everything that I've been given, from my shirt to the lighting to the Mac computers that I've got in front of me now, this microphone, the printer, the TV behind me, the cameras, the tripods, the wireless microphones that I use when I'm going out to the protest, the giant megaphones of 100 watts, of which there's only six in the frickin' country, and the cops have three of them. Okay? This is something that is all being given to me because I have proven beyond reasonable doubt, which I believe is what you should, that should be your balance of proof, right? That I am the alternative media entity in New Zealand. I give everybody a voice. I give everybody a platform. I'm not stingy with it. I don't care if you haven't made a name for yourself. I don't care if you don't have a website. I don't care if you've never been on radio before. I don't care if you've never used Skype before in your entire freaking existence. I will give you a couple of hours on air to tell your story because everybody's got one. And the one thing that really frustrates me about mainstream media is that there are so many activists out there who have incredible information, who have endured immense suffering, and there is nobody in the media who will listen to them.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's right.
Hey, Todd, I don't know if you realize it or not. I did tell you one time when I booked Vinny that he also booked us. I don't know if you actually realize that or not, but Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, we will be on Vinny's show, and that is going to be actually your Friday morning, right, Vinny?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's going to be our Thursday night was going to be his Friday morning show, 6 p.m. Central. We'll be on his show. And while we got like 2 minutes.
5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
Awesome. Yes, yes,
look forward,
yes.
I look
yes.
forward to it.
I'm sorry. 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern. While we got like a couple minutes left here, Vinny, go ahead and do the plug thing.
All right. It's kind of like a bathtub. Doesn't work very well without a plug.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so I've got a number of websites. I want to encourage people to go to my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/Vincent Eastwood. Or you just search Vinny Eastwood. Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. Eastwood as in go ahead. Make my news.
Make my news.
And My website is thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's the, T-H-E, Vinny with a Y, eastwoodshow.com. You can get the archives for free off of there. If you donate or subscribe, you can, sure enough, you know, take away the commercial-free archives. In fact, you can have them even if you don't donate or subscribe. I don't really give a frack, all right? At the end of the day, I'm just trying to survive. I'm trying to do what is not being done. And what is not being done in New Zealand is having an alternative media apparatus to support the activists who are sacrificing their life, their liberty, their property, in many cases, to serve the greater cause of freedom in this nation. And indeed, everything that's happening here is happening elsewhere at the same time. So I get on American activists too, because you got to listen to people. That's something that George Norrie told me when I interviewed him. I'm very lucky to be able to interview him. And but hats off to Mitch Santel. He's now producing the Hagman & Hagman report out of Los Angeles. You got to talk to the people. That's it. If you don't talk to the people, you're suddenly going to start getting full of yourself and you're going to turn into some form of douchebag. And if I ever turn into some form of douchebag, please, ladies and gentlemen, expose me. Okay? Keep me on the straight and narrow, because I've got a lot of talent, I've got a lot of ability, and it could be used for great evil if I were to stray from my path. Thank you.
Sure. Did you also put the Real Guerrilla Media in there too? Or?
Oh, yeah. RealGuerrillaMedia.com. RealGuerrillaMedia.com. The reason why it's a Real Guerrilla Media is because my name, Guerrilla Media, was stolen by a sociopathic scumbag who I will not name.
All right.
And well, if you get out of line, the people will tar and feather you promptly.
Well, let's hope so. And if somebody steals my ideas, it means, hey, I must have an idea worth stealing.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right.
And on that note, we'll go ahead and end this marathon tonight. It's been a very good show, and we thank you for coming on, Vinny.
I really appreciate the platform and giving me a full 2 hours. It's been really lovely, gentlemen. I've enjoyed it.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great talking with you.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good night. Okay. I'm going to turn my camera off. Don't need my camera anymore. I've got my own little thing here, so... Been a long night. I need to do some things, Todd, so I'm not going to be able to talk very long on Skype after we sign off here.
Oh, I've got to get going anyway. Yeah, it's all right.
So we'll see you tomorrow night. We got one tomorrow night, Thursday night, and Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it starts at 6, right? 6 p.m. Eastern?
On Thursday, yes.
And then how long does it go?
2 hours.
Okay.
I think we'll just do 2, so that's fine. If that's okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine with me. And then tomorrow is a regular time, right?
Yes, 7.
7 to 9?
7 to 9, yep.
Okay, cool.
So, everybody, for Todd Foster, I'm Steve Roberts. We're signing off. This is Cancel the Cabal. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.